السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: قال أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما. صدق الله العظيم. Today in the Juma, the lecture that was delivered before the Juma Salah, I spoke a little bit about the need of Surah Kahf in the era that we are living through, and especially for the future. The need for Surah Kahf to be read in every house. The need for our children to be taught how we were once upon a time taught. Just remember when our parents used to tell us something at that time. Many a time whatever the Mawlana said from the minbar was like gold. It was just a few years ago. People never have much investigation, knowledge. There was no issue. I'll check it up on Google to see you're speaking the truth, you're not speaking the truth. So in the past, whatever our parents heard, mothers, fathers, they would take it in their hearts without question, and they taught it to the children without question. There was a time when it was like farz in the house. You make sure you read your Surah Kahf. Even if they never knew what it's going to do, how it's going to help. And then when the world changed, and we entered into a scientific world, then that mother who used to read it so much before, she also stopped reading it. The father stopped, and if they stopped, where were they ever going to tell the child? Because this world of what is called cause and effect, it made the mind understand or see that there is no relationship between Quran and what's happening in the world, which was the biggest lie. The greatest power that we enjoyed was our Quran. But because of a world of cause and effect, I want to see the result. And because we never saw the result we were looking for, I read Quran, but it was this that caused that. Quran never caused it. So in the ending, our Quran became a book of reward. That if you want a very high Jannah, if you want 10 virtues for every letter, if you want a crown which will outshine the sun, then make your son a hafiz of Quran. And if you ask the father, what about you? He said, me, I don't have to read Quran. I already got 3 children who are hafiz. But if anything had to happen in the world, a lot of effort was made. Our greatest power was and will always be Quran. It will be Quran that will clean poison from within. It will be the child who reads Quran when he's young. It will save him from kufr when he's old. You take away Quran from the child, you take away Quran from the town, atheism and then Satanism will fall in the town. Today me and you see problems. And we say, what happened to the boy? But if you go 7 years down the line, you will see from that time there was no Quran until now. As long as Quran is there, whatever filth comes. I mentioned this the other day, I will mention it again. Think about the power of Quran. It is mentioned in a hadith that when a person recites Quran on the earth, it shines to the inhabitants of the heavens like how the stars shine unto us. Now this you'll understand if you go out tonight at about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, when there's a lot of stars in the sky. And it looks so brilliant, so beautiful. But that star's distance from earth is very, very, very far away. So what makes it that when I put on my lights of my car, even if it is the strongest lights on earth, if I'm in Johannesburg, or if I'm in Newcastle, or if I'm in Narrowsburg, the light will not reach Durban. Why won't it reach? But the light of the star is coming all the way down to the earth. So the answer will be that the power behind that star, that you're only seeing a twinkle, twinkle little star, but it's not little at all. That is a huge light. And if you have to go close to that light, the light will make you blind. It is very, very, very far away, but it is huge because of its size. No matter what the distance is, that light is traveling, and it travels so far until it comes to earth and me and you see it. And we just see what a light. But what a light it has to be. Now go the other way around. That 7-year-old boy opened up in his house a Quran to learn his sabak for the next day. As he starts reading, what a light has to be created for it to now travel to the heavens. It can't be a small light. This is not a small star. That house becomes filled with light. The town becomes filled with light. When there is light, there's no darkness. When there is light, there's no rats. There's no scorpions. There's no snakes. When there is light, everything goes away. And when you put off the light, everything comes. When people speak about very difficult times are coming, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam already from the beginning told us, be ready for difficult times. And then he said, I'll leave something in your hands, that if you hold on to it, the floods of the times will never take you with it. He said, it is my Quran and my Sunnah. Whoever will hold on to this Quran, hold on to the Quran means become a man of Quran. Man of Quran means not only make my child hafiz of Quran for Ramadan, and to have one jalsa, and everyone will say, MashaAllah, your son is a hafiz. And for the boy who's doing hifz, and for the parents whose children are becoming hafiz, I've said this in a few jalsas, that sometimes I say to the child graduating, where today is the happiest day in your life, it might also be the saddest day of your life. The reason is how much Quran you were reading up till now. I am scared from tomorrow you're not going to be reading so much. You're not going to read. Why? Because the purpose was memorizing and stopping. My work is done. If the purpose is putting up a shield, then that boy will say to his ustad that I finished my Quran, but I will continue coming to class, because I know if I don't come in class, I won't read Quran. And if I don't read, then my shield won't stand. And when the shield falls, then the arrow hits. When the shield falls, the arrow hits. Allah Ta'ala said in Quran, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ. Indeed, we have made the Quran so easy for dhikr. Dhikr got a lot of meanings. One meaning is to memorize. One meaning is to take lesson. So let's take the memorize. It was Allah's gift that to memorize Quran, it happened in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But the completion of the gift was supposed to be that after you memorize my Quran, I will ensure you never forget my Quran. That's the completion of the gift according to me and you. Allah in His kindness made it the opposite. After you memorize Quran, I will continue pulling Quran away. Which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hold on to this Quran, because it runs away like a camel. When Allah made it so easy to memorize, why did He not make it so easy to remember? He could have done it. After you memorize, 3 years finished, you'll never forget. Quran's miracle could have happened. Why did the hafiz have to have that worry of Tarawih? Which is a worry that once one Ramadan finishes, he only eats nicely on Eid night. And again he starts thinking next Ramadan is coming. Is it not a burden Allah put on the hafiz? On the hafizah, she doesn't have to read Tarawih. But she knows there are days when she can't keep a Quran. She can't read. Then when she gets pure, she has to worry. So they say, isn't that a burden? Why couldn't Allah make it easy to remember till the ending? It was Allah's gift that the only way He was going to keep this ummah falling back to the Quran, running back to the Quran, opening the Quran, is by putting the gift of forgetting. If there was no gift of forgetting, me and you will not read Quran. We would say, I know it, Ramadan will come, I'm on the musalla, my work is done. But during the year, there's no shield. Just Tarawih itself wasn't going to protect the individual from the arrow that was going to be shot before Ramadan. Thus, Quran is a shield, but the shield has to be put up every day. When that boy finishes his Quran, he has attained the shield in his hand. He has a shield with which he can stop a million arrows of the devil. But if he drops the shield, he also gets knocked. And for them to shoot a hafiz of Quran, they are thrilled. That the one who had the shield, who could have saved everyone else, he also dropped it. We cannot forget the power of Quran, even if this word is called cause and effect. So the beginning of this was a kitab I had prepared a few years ago. At the moment it's out of print, but inshallah, the other day I took it out from the shelf and I'm thinking that it has to be reprinted. This was written regarding Surah Kahf a few years ago. In the beginning of the kitab, I included a muqaddimah that was written by Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi. Muqaddimah means like forward. He had written a book many years ago. So now think about this was written so many years ago, and he's explaining to the people why he compiled a book regarding what is Surah Kahf. And try and live with his feelings, and it must at the ending give me and you the honor of the surah. And to then say that from today, a Friday must not pass now in my life and my children's life, except that some portion of Surah Kahf is going to be recited. Because if my shield is not up, what a shield the surah will give, these are the ahadith that we have always heard about. But for the barakah of the ahadith, we will repeat it. The ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this regard are many, amongst which are, whoever memorizes the first 10 verses of Surah Kahf, he will be protected from Dajjal. Man adrakahu minkum, whoever finds Dajjal, he should recite the beginning verses of Surah Kahf. Man qara'a ashara ayat, whoever recites the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf will be protected from Dajjal. Man qara'a Surah Al-Kahf, كانت له نورا إلى يوم القيامة من مقامه إلى مكة. Whoever recites Surah Kahf, it will create a light for him which will remain till the day of Qiyamah, stretching from where he stands right up to Makkah Mukarramah. If one reads the last 10 verses of Surah Kahf, even if Dajjal emerges in his time, he will cause him no harm. لم يضر. من حفظ عشر آيات من الكهف عصم من فتنة الدجال. Whoever memorizes 10 verses of Surah Kahf will be protected from the trials of Dajjal. Whoever will recite Surah Kahf on the day of Jummah will be protected until the following Jummah. If he meets Dajjal, Dajjal will not harm him. And on the day of Qiyamah, his face will shine like a full moon. من ابتلي بناره فليستغف بالله وليقرأ فواتح الكهف فتكون عليه بردا وسلاما كما كانت النار على إبراهيم. Whoever is afflicted with the fire of Dajjal, whatever that fire will be, let him seek aid from Almighty Allah and let him recite the beginning verses of Surah Kahf. This will cool down for him the fire of the Dajjal, which perhaps has the meaning of, it will make the test bearable for him. How Ibrahim alayhi salam went into the fire. He was not saved by being pushed away from the fire. Almighty Allah made him an example that he went in the fire. And being in the fire, he never got burnt. As we are moving for the future, many people say that the only way to get saved is to run out. This narration showed that if you put on your armor, even if you fall in the fire, you can be in the center of the Dajjali world, with the blessings of the surah, that fire will become for you a garden. There is no running, because where are you going to run? When the world has become one global village, where the devil is at the bottom of the mountain, is also sitting on the top of the mountain.
When you go into a village also, the man will pull out his phone and say, you want to watch the sports. It's going everywhere. How far are you going to run? There are those parents who say, I'll take my child out of school. So we say, Mubarak, but then what? Said, I will do homeschooling. I say, through what medium will you do homeschooling? You say, now with the computer, I can get a teacher online. The teacher will teach my child in 2 hours what they teach in the school in 6 hours. We say, Mubarak. And then I ask the question, what about the remaining 4 hours? And the father never thought about it. That remaining 4 hours is the child in front of the computer. So the devil is not only in the school, he's in your room also. In that 4 hours, there are those children whose parents said, I took him out of school to protect him from the trials of the time. And the child found him in his own bedroom. He became more hooked on to porn than those boys who were outside, because there was no one around. So then they ask, so what is the answer? Normally we say, we ourselves don't know, the answer is Allah. For some, Allah protects in the environment of the devil. For some, Allah will protect in our house. Don't ever think that you can create one foolproof system. That I got such a system that the devil can't come through. There is no system. There is one, A'udhu Billahi. I myself enter into the protection of Allah. That if He doesn't protect me, the devil will catch me also, forget my child. So this surah, this is our power. Our children are going to be going in the world. They are going to be seeing the fire of the devil. You can try how much you want to save him by checking on his phone, by putting codes, by putting passwords, by checking up on his friends, by making phone calls to see where are you. But if that fire comes, then he'll also burn. It is the power of Quran that may Allah give it to me and all of us and our children. May Allah make all of us that Ibrahim of the era. And even if the fire comes in front of me and you, and we pushed into that fire, and may Allah showed it one time, this narration said it will be done to others also. That if he finds the fire of the jar, it will become for him cool. This will cool down for him the fire of the jar. That is, it will make the test bearable, as the fire had cooled for Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. These are but a few of what has been narrated concerning the strength of the surah. Very few have, however, ventured into offering an explanation as to why the surah in particular has been singled out as a unique spiritual potion against the evils of the Dajjal. Thereafter I made mention of a few ulama who had done this. This book has also been written in that light. Then with regards to what Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah wrote, when he compiled a few risalas, paragraphs, and then he made it into a book, he chose a beautiful name for his kitab. It was called As-Sirah. Sara'a yusari'u means like a battle, a competition, a wrestling match. That sometimes you push me down, I'll sometimes push you down. He said, the match of sirah bain al-iman wal-maddiyat. He said, this is a match between, the English later on put it in this manner, the title was faith versus materialism. Faith versus materialism. Now think when he wrote this title. At that time, the world, the material world was only rising. Cars were coming out, and trains were coming out, and ships were moving fast, and aeroplanes were now going into the sky. But the level of materialism that me and you reach now, and from 2020 to 2030, the burst of material power you're going to see. When he was writing this, he wasn't in our era. At that time, he's writing it with such like feeling. Now put myself and yourself into the era we are. In the next 10 years, you're going to see a new world. We might be flying in the sky. People at the moment drive like they're flying. But a time will come where you will be flying perhaps. You will be flying. It will be a different world, where he put a nice sentence Such a world is being made that is making all of us mini gods. Making all of us mini gods. That I have so much power at my finger. There is no need for me to say Bismillah, the work is already done. There is no need for me to say Insha'Allah, the work is already done. There is no need to say this is what Allah done because the work is done already. One button and the ambulance is coming. One button and the police are coming. You might not think about it now because when COVID came, it showed the whole world you're hopeless. The best doctors failed, the best hospitals failed. Person said, I paid my premium so long for this medical aid. The most they could do is take my money, but they couldn't give me my father back. But it's not going to be like this. We are going to go with a burst of technology. The world is going to show that we made a mistake with COVID, we'll never make it again. They'll pump their monies into science like anything to create for me and you a city, a mega city, a new city, a surprising city, what you want to call Jannah on earth. A city where sickness will never enter. A city when you enter it, your every thought, desire will be fulfilled. A city where when you come in sick, you go out better. So won't we all love that city? That city is called materialism. And there is only one thing that will tell a person that if you enter that city, be aware of the bite of the devil. It is called faith. Faith means iman. What I mentioned in Jummah, I will speak a little bit about two words that we all know but very few recognize. One is called the Mahdi. One is called the Dajjal. But before we just come to that, I will just read a little of what he wrote. He wrote, my relationship with the surah, from the surahs which I had grown up reciting. Surah Kahf is one which I would recite from an early age on the day of Jummah. I would recite it as a fulfillment of a religious duty and in the hope of its promised rewards. While studying the ahadith, I found that great encouragement had been given towards the recitation of the surah as well as memorizing it, and that such an act would save one from the Dajjal. Naturally, I questioned the relationship between this surah and protection from the Dajjal. I asked myself if perhaps in this surah there are those meanings, indications and warnings which save one from the trials of the Dajjal. I asked myself, why had Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam specified this surah for this purpose? I found myself desirous of finding the secret behind the specification, of searching for the link between the meanings of the surah and the protection it affords. I said it to myself that in the Quran there are so many surahs known as Qisar and Mufassal, Tiwal and Mufassal. Instead of any of these surahs, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made specific reference to Surah Al-Kahf for this. And then he explains when he went into the search of the meaning of the surah, and he found how each verse was not only giving the answer, it was first describing the error. It was explaining to the world what you're going to see. When you will see that, understand that is also a trial of the Dajjal. And that is also a trial of the Dajjal. The surah is long, there will be no time to go. For that reason, this book was prepared. Although there's no hard copies, but we have a website which is called Spiritual Light. Most likely spirituallight.co.za. So on that website is many of the books myself, my brothers have prepared, besides the bayans. So this book can be downloaded, many other books. It is something to read. The author who wrote this book, Maulana Munazir Ahsan Gilani Rahimullah, was a very unique student of Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahimullah. But what a point, like he pulled out from every verse of the surah, that what it was showing, how it described the world. I'll give you one example. In the surah, Allah Tawarakala says, وَضَرِبَ لَهُمْ مَثَلَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلَّاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحِ
وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مُقْتَدِرًا. What this verse means, it is describing the era of materialism. An era where having money and having your every ambition fulfilled. Because just before this, Allah Tabarakallah makes mention of the two brothers or two friends. One friend had it all going from a worldly life. And he met his other and he said, what you did with your life? He said, you know me, وَكَانَ لَهُ ثَمَرٌ. I got this investment and that investment, and I got money coming in from that side. And he says, why don't you come and see my garden? So his friend said to him, no problem. وَلَوْلَا إِذْ دَخَلْتَ جَنَّتَكَ قُلْتَ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. That the only thing I'm asking you is, when you're entering your garden, when you're entering your enterprise, when you're entering what you thought you built, his friend said to him, there's nothing wrong with having money. But materialism is different and money is different. Materialism means a world without an Allah. That everything is matter. It is the beginning and end of my life. If the matter is there, it's Jannah. If the matter is taken away, it's Jahannam. That's what we saw in this last year. If our money was taken away a little, it became the end. No one said, I got some free time, let me read Quran. Money will come back again. It was the end. It was like the Yama had started. Materialism. So his friend said to him, nothing wrong with having a top garden. But why can't it be when you enter it, you just take Allah's name? Me and you will say, what a simple thing he asked. In the world of materialism, the word Allah is forbidden. In the world of materialism, the word Allah is forbidden. That is why in recent times in certain parliaments, by the grace of Allah, certain ministers started taking the name of Allah. We are speaking of Muslim parliaments. Started taking the name of Allah means from the time the Khilafat fell, in the Muslim lands of the world, in every parliament meeting, anything could be said except the word Allah. Forbidden in constitutions, you will not speak about Allah. In recent times, certain main people of governments, they started by the name of Allah. Just that sentence of theirs caused that revolution. Forbidden in the world of materialism, you don't mention Allah. In a secular system, there is no Allah. I will teach you how the water goes up. You can call it evaporation. You can call it what you want. I will teach you how it comes down. You call it what you want. I will teach you how the world was formed. You call it what you want. And if the boy says, Allah did it, that's the only thing you're not allowed to say. That word Allah must not be in this. So Allah Tabarakallah said, give them the example, what is this world? You dying for this world. You only want this world. Allah Tabarakallah said, give it to them as a darb. Hit the example onto them. That what is this world you dying for? كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ. Water that we send down from the sky. فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. And because of it, the vegetation all started coming out. So rain came, for me a new sperm came. Whatever came, we were created. We became the vegetation. We were just made from that rock. And as that vegetable came out, now there's an entire spring. And when spring comes, everything looks so beautiful. So me and you are all spring. Enjoy your spring. But after spring, فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا. That word fa in Quran means shortly thereafter. It all became left over. فَأَصْبَحَ هَشِيمًا تَذْرُوهُ الرِّيَاحُ. And now the wind was blowing the wind. What a verse, what an explanation, so short. Crux of the verse, you spring and I'm spring. But oh spring, enjoy your garden how much you want, autumn is coming. When autumn comes, we're not going to be here tomorrow. Then there'll be another group of spring. Each one will think, I'm the best rose of the time. And autumn will come, and that rose is coming. There's been enough springs in this world, and there's going to be many more springs. But after every spring is autumn.
If this world was only one season, then what a terrible world it is. This is the surah. The surah was to say that you created for something else. In the world of materialism, very few will see Allah. Through the barakah of the surah, it must be me and you that sees Allah. As it's going to get stronger and stronger, in one verse of the surah, Allah Ta'ala gives a message to the world. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ. Let it not be that you ever say regarding any matter, I'll do this tomorrow. Quran says, no, don't say that. Say, if Allah allows. This word, inshallah, the word, mashallah. So strong this word is in the era of Dajjal. Because this word, Allah, doesn't exist in this era. The individual who says it, you will say, such a small thing it is. I always say, inshallah. But we must think as the world advances. Perhaps 10 years ago I had my car that was not always the most faithful. So when I left from point A, I did tell my friends, make dua, I reach safely. And when I started the car, before starting, I also read Bismillah, because sometimes it would go kruk kruk and not start. Then you needed someone to give you that push behind. So I said, Bismillah and Alhamdulillah. And then the car started, and as I reaching home, I said, Abidun, Tabidun, Abidun, Rabbina, Abidun. I thank you, Allah, I reached safely. And immediately I phoned, they said, you reached, and we were making dua. Alhamdulillah, I reached, Jazakallah, Subhanallah, everything, Allah, 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 Allah. And then the world just changed, it gave me a smarter car. It gave me a car with tires that don't run flat. Now when I'm leaving, I don't even talk to them. It's goodbye. There's no in the trust of Allah, in the protection of Allah, in any Allah. The car starts without any Bismillah. The garment is the first thing. I say, put on the garment, or put on the computer. See how far it is. Immediately, auntie or uncle, whoever it will come on, she will say, there's this accident on this road, there's a camera here, there's this here, this here. I say, thanks. And she will take me along my way. And she will bring me to the last point and she'll do it. She will do it. She hardly fails. So now this is going off the topic, but let's just jump now. She hardly fails. When I mention, we will speak about the Dajjal and we will speak about the Mahdi. The word the Mahdi is a word we all love. It is in the heart of every believer. Mahdi, I'll give my life. It was about 1980 when there was something called the Siege of Makkah. So at that time there was an individual who stood up and he said, I am the Mahdi. And then they closed the haram and then he said, go and call the people, I am the Mahdi. And a lot of things happened in the world. And in embassies and Muslims around the world started going wild. And there was an American embassy in Pakistan, I think. And the news went there that the Mahdi has come, or the Americans have taken over the haram, whatever news went. So this American embassy in Pakistan, American embassy, like we all know it, unbreakable. The Pakistanis broke it. Unbreakable. They broke it. They managed to get in. And those Americans, they had to go through a secret passage and get out. And then a helicopter had to come and take them. And the American government is pleading with the Saudi government that tell the world, we got nothing to do with this incident. And there was a lot of confusion. Whatever happened, happened. At the ending, investigations had to take place in who was responsible, what had happened, that's a very long story. But one of the people who made this investigation, he wrote this few lines. He says, I don't know what this Mahdi is, but it is such a concept in the minds of the Muslims of the world, that just the news of the Mahdi leaking out, brought the Muslims around the world ready to take down any power in front of them. He says, this was at such a time when there was no media like what we have today. So he says, I don't know what the result will be. If in a time where the media is as fast as it is today, but this he wrote about 20 years ago. He wrote this about 20 years ago. That time it seems things are also going faster. Imagine today one message on WhatsApp, the Mahdi is out. He says, I do not know what will be the result of the world if in 2 days' time that word the Mahdi has to leak. It will make the Muslims around the world become. This is the love that Allah put in the hearts of the believers for the word Mahdi. And that is a Mubarak love. Then there is something called Dajjal. This is a filthy word. This is a word every child hates, and that's Mubarak. We hate the word Dajjal. And we love the word Mahdi. The only problem is many of us think that when the time comes, you're going to see two people. One is going to introduce himself and say, I'm the Mahdi. And the other one is going to say, I'm the Dajjal. You want to join me? That's not going to happen. The word Dajjal is a title. It's not his name, and he'll never use that name. He will use 100 other names, but he will never call himself Dajjal. Dajjal was taught to us. Mawlana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahimullah says, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave the most unique description for this devil, so that anyone who sees him will be able to recognize him. He says he called him Dajjal. Dajjal means the master of deception. When you will see something that 100% does not look like Dajjal, then you must know this is Dajjal. Now that's a very hard thing to say. 100% he does not look like Dajjal. You will have to say this is the devil. What will you see in him? The word Dajjal, another unique word was given in the Ahadith, and perhaps that's the secret. It is called the false Messiah. You might have heard Al-Masih Ad-Dajjal, the deceiving Masih. Masih means Isa alayhi salam. The deceiving Isa. So what does this mean? If you know Isa alayhi salam, you will be able to pick up the Dajjal. If you know Isa alayhi salam, what Quran described when Isa alayhi salam came. He came, he was lifted, he will come again. So when he came, Quran described it. When Isa alayhi salam was on earth, he was a simple person. He was a person who had no house, no home. He was in this town and he was in that town. His house was wherever night found him, that was his house. He was ready to move around the world for people. Masih. One meaning of Masih is the earth, he would slide on the earth. Moving around everywhere for the sake of humanity, that was Messiah. When you will see an individual moving around in the world for the sake of humanity, then you must say, you perhaps are the devil. Listen to me properly. We are not speaking of a man coming to say, I'm going to kill you. We are speaking of an individual who says, I'm coming to cure you. When you will see an individual moving in the world with that fikr and concern of Nabi Isa alayhi salam, then you must say, you are the false Messiah. One Christian wrote this, it shocked me, his wording. It means even amongst them they worried. He said, I scream out to my fellow brothers and sisters that understand when the Antichrist comes, he will come in the guise of Christ himself. He says, Christ already did what he did. When Christ will come the second time, he will not come like how he came the first time. This Christian wrote this. He said, I am so scared when you will see the Antichrist doing the work of Christ, you will think he is Christ. Now we come to the Sunnah, the Ahadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the coming of Isa alayhi salam, which is called the second coming. He said, he will come with the sword. Isa al-Islam is now not coming as a da'i. He's not going to come to call the world to peace. He's not going to come and say, I want unity in the world. He's not going to come and say that if your child is a leper, if his skin is white, if he is born blind, bring him to me, I'll put my hand and make dua, he will come right. Isa al-Islam already did it. Now he's coming with the sword. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam described when the Dajjal will come. He will now do whatever Isa alayhi salam did. يُبْرِئُ الْأَكْمَهَ وَالْأَبْرَسِ
Isa alayhi salam gave cure to the one whose skin was not the best. He gave cure to the one who was born blind when science said we cannot help. Isa alayhi salam rubbed his hand over the child and the eye came back. Now me and you will go towards an era. In the next few years, before we even see this individual moving around as the boss of the world, having millions of followers, before we see him in the next 10 years, science is going to progress. It's going to get progress so much that the word Allah will come out of our tongues. They will pull it out, pull it out. We will have to force ourselves saying, no, Allah did, no, Allah did, no, Allah did. MashaAllah, inshaAllah. When it reaches, wherever it reaches, it is called the height of science. At that time, you will see another individual even higher than that. Where that mighty science of 2030 or perhaps after 2050 will say this is the final where the world can reach. Perhaps after that we will see a person coming and said, I'm one higher. That one higher the world will call God. Because by 2050, when everyone will be called a mini-God, then the one who can beat everyone is nothing but God. With that power he will now come, where science at that time will fail. He will say, bring the child. We don't know exactly what it will be, but I can paint a picture for you, something like this. If the Mahdi comes, before the coming of the Mahdi, there will be many others, so-called Mahdis, false Mahdis. How we had ISIS was one, there might be many others. And these false ones will make the world so sick of what is called the word jihad. It will make the world so sick of the word jihad that when the true Mahdi will come, many parents will tell their children, we already were bitten enough, don't even think of going for this. There is no such thing as the Mahdi. May Allah save us all. One great Tabi'i, someone asks, how will I know the Mahdi? He said, even if the Mahdi walks past your house, you remain sitting in your house. Until a huge group of ulama don't gather around him, you don't go out. The reason is when we get our josh, when we just see one man on television, on the news, on the internet making one claim, when we just see one, two black flags behind him flying, we say, this is the guy. And you get but once, you get but a second, you get but a third. And the day the right one comes, you say, I'm not going to get but anymore. We will wait for the Mahdi, don't jump. The day he comes, Allah will show us. But let the ulama be the ones to move first, not the non-ulama. When ISIS blew in South Africa, in the world, at that time we were called for one program in one of the towns. So we gave our program. Some people like it, some people are not happy. Among some people who are not happy, they said, the problem with you Maulanas is you're the most scared of jihad. You're the most scared. So when the truth comes, you'll change the whole story. Never ever regard the ulama as sellouts, because they will have to be the cause for you finding the truth. Don't ever open your tongue too much against the ulama, because even if their practice is not as good as your practice, their knowledge is your light in the end of the day. The one you don't want to follow, you put him on one side with respect. And the one you want to follow, you follow him with respect. Never be disrespectful to any alim. The harm of causing disrespect to any alim is from your own progeny, Allah pulls away knowledge. My father, I remember, whenever we were going, when I started driving, so he would be sitting next to me. And then we're driving and we see the alim of the town, he's waiting there for a lift to go to the masjid. So as it is, he's on that side, my right hand side. So if I stop my car, it will be easy for him to just open the back door and get inside. What's so hard? My father would make sure he would get out of his seat and he would sit in the back and say, no, no, you come sit in. This is like a 2 minute thing. I would sometimes want to say that, what's the big issue, like sitting back front? For him it was impossible for an alim to be behind. Alim must be in front. In the barakah of the respect that he showed to the alim, at that time in our family there was no talk of becoming an alim. No talk at all. He showed respect to ulama, Allah made the whole family alims. Don't ever be disrespectful to any alim. At the moment the world went in that direction, everyone started shooting. When you lose respect for ulama, the day his knowledge, you will need it to show you the path, there will be no knowledge. You will say, everyone is a sellout, everyone is a sellout, but then where are you going to go? The one you don't want to follow with respect, you put him on one side and kiss him. And the one you want to follow with respect, you follow him. You show respect to the people of knowledge, even if their practice doesn't match up to what they're supposed to be. Allah will create the true ulama in your progeny. Show disrespect to the ulama. Even if your father was the alim of the ulama, knowledge will be pulled out of your progeny. He said, as long as a group of ulama don't gather around him, you just sit in your house. That is the main thing. When the war will burst, when the war will start, does the world love war? No one loves war. When war will start, ships will not be moving how it's moving. Because of which the world will go in an economic meltdown. That cars that were coming and you were using it and selling it, now no longer will be coming. Perhaps as the truck ship is coming with cars, the whole ship will get bombed. You will say, my rosy is there, my whole sustenance is there, all gone. That container coming with your phones to sell, that container coming with whatever you have to sell, when war will start, the war will blast. In that blast, your entire empire might crumble. At that time, if your material wealth is more important than your iman, you might even curse the Mahdi. Because you won't know he's the Mahdi. You will just see a Muslim leader calling for Muslims to stand up against Europeans. So the war will start. It will be a European war against an Islamic state. Look at that word. When ISIS had to choose a name, what a name they chose. Islamic state. That was nothing to do with the Islamic state. But it made this word so rotten, Islamic state, IS, that the day the world hears Islamic state, they'll be ready to spit out. The fear is when the Mahdi comes, at that time it will come with difficulty. It will come with, are you ready to sacrifice? It will come, your business will have to suffer. At that time, if we have this true love of the Mahdi, may Allah make it, we will say it's worth it. If Islam has to rise and my business has to collapse, I will say to Allah, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And if Islam has to rise, the flag has to rise and my business has to go, let it go. But there will be many at that day when they will hear that ship was blown. And they will curse the leader who caused it to be blown. Because he will say, he destroyed my entire business. So on that side the battle will be on. Then as bombs are hitting each other, there will be many crippled. There will be your child perhaps, or my child. May Allah give us all afiyah. But when war is going to break, there is going to be calamity. There's going to be loss of life. While the European and the Muslim world is fighting like anything, at that time in between, he will not be European, he will not be Muslim. He will be the caller for world peace. He will be screaming at the top of his voice, can we not stop this war? Christians will be running to him and say, you are the man to stop it. A young woman will be bringing a child who was knocked with a bomb. He will say, look at this child. Perhaps there will be screams on him at that time. Perhaps the world will be looking on television. They will be crying. This will not be a joke. This will not be a lie. Why we went on to this, that word I said, so perfect he will do it. He will put his hand, remember his hand is the hand of Isa alayhi salam. He will put his hand over the broken leg of the child, and as he will rub it, and on the whole world will see on a screen that child's leg comes right. He will not say, you are a Muslim child, I won't help you. He will want to help the Muslim more than the non-Muslim. When that hand will go, the leg will come right and the iman will collapse. That mother will fall for him, the child will fall for him, thousands of people who are watching will fall and say, if you want to follow, this is the man. At that time, if the ulama say, this is the antichrist, the people will say, are you mad? This is the man who saved my child. When medicine will be able to deliver its results to 100% perfection, then you must know the doctor on the other side is the devil. We're only starting the game, but already when we're screaming out to people that if you're sick and you heard of some unique doctor, you heard of some unique person who came in the town, who just does one, two miracles and everything gets right, and they ask, is it halal? And we say to them, we can't say it's haram. But we are so scared that when you're going to go to the person and he's going to cure you, after that you will never ask me again, is it halal or haram? He will cure you perhaps in a halal manner, and then you will advertise to another 20 people. When you ask that individual, who taught you how to do this unique cure, that you can enter my mind and you can go in my body and you can move around and you can fix up some things, the person will say, one Jew. That word some Jew doesn't some Jew, it's some Jew. Where did that Jew learn this thing? He learned it from some power. Who is that power? The person say, what difference it makes? I'm getting you cured. You say, it makes a very big difference, because you have saved my material world, but you took away my faith. Took away my faith. If already today Muslims, we are begging them, if you got a headache, live with your panado. Live with your panado instead of going to that one doctor who can rub his hand over like this and every headache goes away. As that hand is running, it's wiping away iman also. The false messiah means the false messiah. When you will see a man doing the work of Isa a.s., the kindness of Isa, the miracles of Isa a.s., Isa a.s., وَأُنَبِّئُكُمْ بِمَا تَأْكُلُونَ, he said to the people, I'll tell you what you're eating, and I will tell you what you are storing. وَمَا تَدَّخِرُونَ فِي بُيُوتِكُمْ, when me and you will see that fortune teller, already we collapsing. When one army comes, Muslim, non-Muslim, one we see one advert, they will, Morana so and so will help you, you want to win the lottery, come to him. People are even going for that. That person got no deen, Muslim or non-Muslim, but if he can be on target, if he can tell you, if you dig in a certain place in your house, you will take out hair. The question is, who put the hair there? So he will say, your mother-in-law put it there. Where your mother-in-law managed to dig, she can't even bend. Someone put that hair. Normally we will say, the one who told you where the hair is the one who put the hair. The one who told you where the hair is the one who sent the hair. When you will start going to these people, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever goes to the fortune teller, he has now left whatever I brought. What was meant by that? When you will go, they'll grab you. They will tell you the truth. And when you become theirs, it will be nothing but lies after that. The era of the Dajjal is going to be like this. Power. The knowledge of the unseen. Remarkable things. He will be a master of everything. Not like what me and you thought, the Dajjal. Bad, evil. Kind, loving, curing, helping. He will go to a person, Muslim or non-Muslim, he'll make no difference. He will say, you are suffering for so many years, why don't I help you? He will have so much of barakah as he will leave that land. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the man will see his 10 animals becoming fat. They will say, Sheikh, what barakah you brought? What barakah? Who doesn't want to see his 10 animal becoming fat? So much barakah. If your iman today is on maddiyat, whether it's with me or any sheikh, then you will fall for the jar. If your iman is on maddiyat, I mentioned this today on the Dasturkhan, I will repeat it. What it means is me and you understand that, you know what, say, Mawlana, make dua for barakah. So let's go say I go to the house and I make dua. I say, Allah, give you all the best. And then tonight what happens, your child gets sick. So the wife will say, don't ever call that Mawlana back to our house. He got no barakah. Because for us, barakah means goodness of this world. Problems of this world means calamity, disaster. Whereas the system of the world is day and night. Barakah means that your iman will be safe for the year after. It got nothing to do with this world. So I mentioned that one hadith on the Dasturkhan. A sahabi radiallahu anhu said, oh Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I love you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, think properly what you are saying. He said, I love you. He said, then prepare the shield for poverty. He said, because poverty comes to the one who claims love for me, like the waters of the flood comes rushing down. If me and you were in that place, you would say, what barakah is this? Suppose there is money coming, health coming, wealth coming, the devil will bring you the world, but he will take your iman. And the Mahdi will bring you Jannah, but he will not give you the world. The Mahdi will not give you the world. Remember this. That's why when Isa alayhi salam will come, he will rub the heads of people. And he will say, Mubarak on your sabr. Mubarak on your sabr means, I know what you went through. It was not easy days. When the Mahdi will come, you are not going to be seeing money coming like anything. He is called the Mahdi, rightly guided. He is not going to be a miracle man. He is not going to be a master where no disaster comes. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, that first period of Makkah Mukarrama was difficult, very difficult, very difficult. There were no miracles, the one me and you were looking at. That he lifted his finger and the entire army was destroyed. When there was Badr, there was Uhud also. When they won a war, they lost a war also. When the Mahdi will come, there'll be a defeat, there'll be a victory. There'll be a victory, there'll be a defeat. If me and you are just looking for miracles, you say, what is this? At that time, the people who waited for the Mahdi will fall. And then when you will see an individual who's getting everything right. Everything right. His rub is curing. His rub is wiping. The skin is coming right. That hair that was never growing is now growing. He's calling the world, let's stop. Can't the Christians and the Muslims unite? Christians are following him. Muslims are also tweeting. And they say, follow this man. At that time, someone will say, but he's Dajjal. Whole world will say, do you think this is Dajjal? Dajjal is like this, a kind man. Remember this word, the false Isa. When you will see an Isa alayhi salam in this world, and he hasn't got a sword, understand he's not our Isa. When Isa alayhi salam is going to come, he's going to come with awe. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said, when I will see him, I will jump up and hug him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you now see Isa alayhi salam, when he will be coming down, you will be gripped with fear. You will pull back. He's not the old Isa. This will come with majesty and might and power. When you will see a kind man, may Allah bless us through the barakah of what we said today, through the barakah of Surah Kahf, to recognize the enemy is the most important for all of us. And besides the Dajjal, to recognize every agent going up to the Dajjal. When COVID came, it was death. But very few recognized an agent playing with the strings of this COVID. Now COVID is finished, but it's not going to end. The agents are now just going to go up. When you're going to see laws in the world, recognize the agent behind the law. When you're going to see vaccinations for mankind, recognize the agent behind the vaccination. When someone is going to say, I pledge 10 million for Africa, you will say, you rubbish, you are the one who killed majority of Africans. Since when you worried about them, recognize the agent behind those pledges. When people will talk big, you must see in the eye of the devil. That what you so got so much of worry suddenly for the Muslims of the world. where suddenly you got worry for Syria and for this country and that country. You hate the believers like anything. All of a sudden you are the best of mankind. You want to build a lovely city. You want to build a safe city. You want to create an education system to help my children. You've got no word of help in your heart to recognize the agents of the devil. That man, when he walks towards the cave, will end with one qissa. There's a kitab in our madrasa we teach, it's called Mufidu Talibin. So it says the lion became sick. So he thought of a plan that since I can't go hunting anymore, the only way is to invite the people of the jungle. That can't you come and visit your king? He has made tawbah. He made tawbah, no more he's going to hunt. He wants to ask everyone for maaf, come in. So as the animal comes in, then obviously what the lion is going to do. Mubarak on your coming, and then one bite and finished. So one animal came in, another animal came in. They say finally the fox came. But the fox was not entering the cave. So the lion from inside says, oh fox, like what you doing outside? Enter, enter for my ikram. I can look after you, I can honor you. He says, I see a lot of footprints entered your cave. But I am not seeing any footprints coming out, so it must be a very crowded cave. Let me wait for all your guests to leave first, then I'll come in. Many are being caught with the bite of the devil, many. If you have the eye, and may Allah give us all the eye. When you will see someone being bitten, then be that fox that says, I'll stand outside the cave. Because when people are entering in, we're not seeing them coming out. They are being pulled in. There was a time when I spoke about Freemasonry. The first time I mentioned it, someone said, this is unreal. The second time in that same locality I mentioned the word Freemasonry, someone came and said to me, just the other day someone in the school came and told me, you don't want to become a Freemason. This was 5 years ago. Now at the moment Freemasonry is advertised like anything. They even say, who said you can't be a Muslim and a Freemason? It can go together. Be a Freemason Muslim. That's happening and it's going very fast. The invitation towards filth and evil is being given in big manners. Recognize the enemy of the devil. Recognize the devil himself. What the barakah of the surah. Read it on a Friday. May Allah Tabarakala make it that we read it and the powers of the surah come in us. That even if the fire comes, it becomes a garden for me. I am able to defeat the devil. I am able to defeat the jinn. The surah has given us so much of power that we are the warrior of the time. Our Quran has given us the power. Now when this boy will be graduating, we will make dua after that. Everyone will make dua. Always we make dua normally. Allah give his parents honor. Allah give his parents this. Allah give his parents that. I want all of you all to make your own dua. What dua? That Allah make all of us people of the Quran. Because I also need the shield. I must also be reading Quran. And lot of Quran, and lot of Quran. And every day it must go more than what I'm reading yesterday. Because every day the fitna is getting worse. The shield has to become stronger. May Allah Tabarakala accept this dua on behalf of all of us. May Allah make us all min ahlil Quran from the people of Quran. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.